From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant,
presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
One more Corner Pocket.
Now here's WarChant.com's Asan Hajivandi
and Corey Clark.
What is up, everybody? It's Wake Up WarChant, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Coming up on today's show, get up off the mat. Stop feeling sorry for yourselves. Let's go. Reasons for optimism and hope. And we look ahead to a 2024 Florida State offense that could look great if they crush it here in the portal soon with the top guys out there in the market. Wake Up WarChant, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. That's in Tallahassee, Florida. Gosh, I missed it so much. CPTallybar.com. That's a website. Hit the QR code on your screen. You'll go right to the website. You can place your order to go. But, you know, we like to say hang out at the Corner Pocket because it's what Corey Clark does when he's in Tallahassee. Daily lunch specials Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Only $8.99 today. Cheesesteak sandwich, chicken or steak, side dish of your choosing. Great options. Straight fries, curly fries, onion rings, potato salad, coleslaw, broccoli, side salad, tater tots, or freshly cooked potato chips. It's all over at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. And later tonight, 7 o'clock, bingo. Play it. Win money. For real. Go there. Yeah. Win money. It's awesome. Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. WarChant.com, your ultimate Seminole sports source. Thumbs up, please. 5-star rating and review, perhaps, as well. We'll earn it. You can wait another 45 minutes or so if you're in that sort of mood today, which is fine. It's fine. I'm just glad you're all here, everybody. Corey included. How are you, friend?
Nobody cares about that. How are you? How was Wednesday in Miami?
Beautiful day.
Okay.
A little bit of too heavy of a lunch. Kind of sat with me the entire day, but made it to the gym still.
You go to Iris Place?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a heavy. I mean, it's a heavy place, man.
It's Italian. It's really good, though. But I'm just like, what would Corey do right now? Would Corey take a nap? Would he go to the gym? I went to the gym. All's well. And then I'm ready to go ahead and rock and roll with you. And then at 8 o'clock, get to speak to Adam Fuller and the folks on the defense. So Wednesday was interesting, man. I think you listened to most of the interviews that Ira and I were able to gather at the first, I guess, round of media day, if we want to call it, was the offense. Alex Atkins, Brock Glenn, Kyle Morlock, Darius, Dimitri, and Maurice. I think, you know, we're kind of being fussy every other day. You know, some days are better than others for us. I wish we could show the kind of balance and equilibrium, the stasis that Mike Norvell and his players have, because they don't sound like a broken, defeated, you know, here just to collect a sweater and a backpack and go on a yacht for a night trip. I think they're ready to compete, man. I like the way they were at practice. We only got to see the first 15 minutes of it, Corey, but seemed to be a pretty good energy, a good verve, as you like to pull out every now and then. So I know Vegas is a little bit more bullish on the dogs. What, it's ballooned? What is it, 19 and a half now?
19 and a half, yep.
I'm not saying those who stay will be champions, but I think the guys that stayed know what they signed up for, and they're not scared. And I think they're confident, not in the result maybe of what the game is going to be like, but I just think they trust themselves and their teammates that have decided to stick it out. And I hate saying stick it out because, I mean, it's the Orange Bowl. Orange Bowl is a cool game to play in. I think Maurice got a lot of that across to his teammates, but they're in the right state of mind, maybe even if some of us are not. So expecting to see a proud effort out of the boys. Might come up a little bit short, but a proud effort nonetheless.
Well, and I think that's what the hand-wringing on my end comes from, is that I don't expect anybody that's playing in this game to just go through the motions. I mean, they're out there to compete. They're out there to try to earn a roster spot for next year. They're all competitors. You don't typically get to a place like Florida State, at least 2023 Florida State, without being an ultra-competitor. I mean, that's just – you have to be wired that way. When you're on the field, you think you're better than the guy you're going up against, and you're not afraid. You're not scared. I don't think they're afraid. I don't think they're scared. I just think – you know, as Keon Coleman officially declared on Wednesday, you're without most of your best players. And that's what limits my excitement about the game. But on the same token, I am interested to see what Brock Glenn looks like in start number two. I'm interested to see what these wide receivers look like. All of them, because they all could be back. Portier, Williamson, the three freshmen, Ja'Kai, they all have eligibility remaining, and I don't know if they're going to go get – and they're bringing in four guys. So that's 10 wide receivers right there. They, you know, I'm sure if there's a really good one in the portal, they'll make a run at. But, you know, this is probably almost certainly the vast majority of the receiving corps for next year. And they get a chance for 60 minutes to see what they are. And most of the offensive line, I except for who, Roddick maybe?
No,
we'll be back. Oh,
yeah,
next
yeah,
year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I thought you said who's going to play on Saturday. But yeah,
no, I mean, right. Roddick and Emmanuel, I guess, are the two that aren't coming back. But all these other guys will be back. And it's one and hats off to those guys, man. They're playing, it would appear. I mean, by all indications, that offensive line is playing. So, you know, they're there to compete. And so I don't want it to I don't want people to think my, you know, just the my overall frustration with this game is because I don't think the guys down in Miami care. Are going to be there to compete. They got pride. They're going to compete. It's just, you know, you're down 30 players, probably. I think it's 25. It's 14 scholarship players that are in the portal and 10 or 11 now that have opted out, maybe 10. So 24 guys right there that aren't playing and then some injured guys, obviously like Jordan Travis and others, that won't be able to play. So you're down to you're down to about 55, 54 scholarship guys.
Yeah, not to belabor it, but I just think there's a law of, like, I don't want to say diminishing returns because all these guys were so valuable and made such an indelible mark on this program this year. But I think, like, after you lose Jordan and then, you know, Jaheim announces and Keon and Johnny, like, you know, there's a certain point where you're like, all right, man, like, we just realized this is what it is and we're going to have to figure it out regardless. So I think they've probably moved past it. Like, I think they're numb to it is kind of what I'm trying to say. But, like, in a good way, not like a defeated way. I just think, again, man, all this – when you talk about culture, again, I'm the guy that always kind of rolls my eyes when I hear about it. But I just feel like the way those guys carried themselves Wednesday and probably what we're going to see Thursday when Adam Fuller brings his guys over here to the La Meridian in Davie, Florida. Although it says Dania Beach. I think it's technically Davie.
Dania Beach.
Sorry. Yeah. Dania.
It's my dad's hometown. That's the only way I know. Yeah.
Some say the city that John Clark built.
Well, you know, I say hometown. What is it? So he was born in Scranton and lived there until he was 12, right, and then moved to Dania Beach. Okay. So I think that's where his mom was, where my grandmom was my whole life until she passed away. So I guess Dania is what he'd call home. But he was born in Scranton and lived. Yeah. What would you say if you lived somewhere for 12 years and then moved to another city? What's your hometown? What's your home?
I was a guy that always said wherever you went to high school ends up being like your hometown. I think those are your more formative years. So, yep. I mean, 12 years.
West Broward High School. That's not there anymore. Dania Beach.
Yeah. So I just think that, you know, again, man, they're confident in their individual ability. And, I mean, the guys that are going to sign up to play this game and are going to play their rear ends off, man, because that's what this coaching staff demands of them, and they haven't let off of that at all. Again, you know, not to belabor, like, we realize the talent's not going to be ideal, but still, when you're playing with that common purpose, that common goal, that kind of motivation, you know, you're gonna do your fan base proud, I think. So we'll see here in short enough time how it all kind of shakes out. Keon, though, officially announced he is going into the draft. Good night, sweet prince. Didn't mention anything about the bowl game, but I guess we can just go ahead and assume that means he will not be playing in the bowl game, Corey.
Correct. He's also not on the depth chart.
Yeah. I don't know where this single season stands in Florida State lore. He wasn't right, though, since I think even before the Pitt game, to be honest with you.
I don't think he was right against Wake Forest. And he had a couple of touchdowns in that game, including the long one where he kind of stiff-armed the kid and ran in there. But I think he, starting around the Duke game, I don't think he was right the whole season. Mm-hmm. Which is, again, kind of what I was excited about in the playoff, is him getting 3 or 4 weeks rest to look like Keon again, mm-hmm. to be Keon again. And, you know, we didn't get to see that, obviously. You guys know that. Again, he was a guy, we can talk freely now, I would imagine, because he's not eligible anymore. He's going to the league. Fabian Lovett, Keon Coleman, Akeem Dent, they barely practiced the second half of the season.
Yeah.
All three of them.
Jaheim
and there's
Bell,
more, too.
Jaheim Bell, too.
Yeah. Barely practiced. They were all dealing with something, just trying to get right for Saturdays, but they could barely practice, or did not practice, sorry, for most of the time. During the week, Keon would do things here and there. Fabian, quite honestly, Aslan, I don't know that he had a real normal practice all season.
That practice week, right? Yeah.
Right, but
yeah.
He would be off doing his own individual stuff and then come over and do a couple of, like, one-on-ones, blocking drills and stuff, and then go right back to kind of being – and that was him the whole season. So, again, I want people to understand they're opting out, and I'm upset. I want them to play. I want them to care. But these guys were all guys that were dealing with injuries and kept playing week after week after week. Yeah.
Where does Keon's, like, six-game stretch, is that going to rank anywhere? I mean, I know that's really whittling it down. This is a program that's had some really great, great wide receivers. But, man, he was on a trajectory here where you just thought, I mean, you pulled off the heist of the transfer portal season.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't anybody else try to outbid you or make a better pitch to bring Keon Coleman to their university, you know?
Don't know. Doesn't matter. Not your problem. yeah, no, it was a great season. A great season. He became a household name kind of overnight, really. He became a nationally known name. Like, people, real college football fans, like hardcore ones, probably knew about him at Michigan State. But when he's scoring three touchdowns in prime time against LSU, he automatically becomes a household name and an All-American candidate. He had some incredible moments, some incredible highlight reel plays, even against Miami, where I think he had two catches. Well, one of them is a great touchdown while he's being interfered with, and he also had a 60-yard punt return that kind of gave you the win. Didn't he have a long one against Florida, too? A punt return against Florida,
yes,
I think?
Yes, yes.
Like, big plays, man. The guy was just a playmaker. And what you wonder about with a guy like that, not wonder, but hope, you have three freshmen that have, we all think, the ability to play in the league. And they just got to watch that dude. And I know I just said that, you know, he didn't practice much the last half of the season, but he practiced all the first half of the season, and he was still out at practice. He was still doing things occasionally, and he was in the film room, and he was on the field on Saturdays. They got to see what that looks like up close for 14 weeks. That only helps you, man. You see what it's like to be great. You see what it looks like. You see the work on and off the field. All those guys, Vandravius, Hakeem, Destin, they got to see that up close, and that can only benefit them. Like, the Keon impact, the Keon Coleman effect, we might be talking about it in 2025 if one of those guys is an All-American. Hmm. And he learned what it looked like from Keon and Johnny. Like, that's how programs are built. Getting around greatness, seeing greatness up close, and then trying to emulate it or better it.
Yeah, I don't want to compare him to Peter Warwick, but, you know, we saw him wearing that T-shirt, and, you know, he mentioned, you know, he familiarize himself with P-Dub when he finally ended up committing here. There's probably high school kids that watch Keon play that are like, hey, man, I would like to wear that jersey and make those kind of plays and this kind of offense. Because, yeah, Keon's leaving, but this offense isn't leaving. This offense built for playmakers, some would say, Corey. So he could be paying dividends and residuals for years to come. So what a great acquisition that was for Florida State. It also, man, I don't know, for some reason, I like how him and Jaheim also thanked their previous institutions.
Yeah.
He thanked Michigan State. Jaheim thanked South Carolina in his farewell. I guess maybe this kind of goes back to the caliber, not only on-field player that Norvell gets, but, you know, it doesn't seem to be a lot of malcontents he's bringing in. These aren't guys that are leaving these previous programs because they had big falling outs and they have animus towards where they were. Just kind of, you know, maybe things just weren't ideal any longer, and they found a better place, a better fit here in Tallahassee, but they still were able to kind of tip their cap to their previous school because, you know, it'd be nice if, you know, if Derek McClendon ended up doing something really great and he still thanked Florida State, but I don't know, there's something about that sits right with me. I don't know about you. Maybe it's me being old school, you know, paying tribute to your original foundation.
Yeah, and I would suggest that people are wondering, Ira tweeted about this yesterday, and I think it's a good point. I don't think Renardo Green's farewell tweet is just lip service. Like, there's a blueprint. It's
amazing.
AI. No. Let me go ahead and just, with all that being said, I've decided to enter the draft. Thanks, everyone. Like, it's heartfelt, man.
Oh yeah.
And all the and Keon made his very heartfelt and very specific to Florida State. The first paragraph, he wrote just as much about Michigan State, which I agree with you. He was there for 2 years. He was only in Tallahassee for one, so I like that he appreciated how he was developed in East Lansing too. But, you know, Keon talking about them not getting a chance to see if they were the best team in the country, not getting a chance to prove they were the best team in the country. I thought that was a really good point. I'm glad he hit that. And then Renardo just talking about what Coach Norvell and that coaching staff meant to him. Mm-hmm. Again, these are tough decisions. They really are. Like, Renardo practiced, man. We saw him practice. We saw Jarian practice. We saw Tate practice. I think they were – I mean, it wouldn't make sense to practice – before Christmas, knowing you're not going to play after Christmas. I don't know why the decisions were made and why they changed their mind or what was said or what wasn't. I don't know why they apparently changed their minds, but they did. But when these guys leave Florida State, almost to a man, I'm sorry, when they opt out, mm-hmm. almost to a man, you can tell there is some real, love might be too strong. I don't know. Maybe it isn't. But respect mm-hmm. and gratitude for this coaching staff and what they built here at Florida State. And it should be, man. Think about where Renardo Green was. He played in 19. Mm-hmm. He was on the team that Willie got fired off. And then I don't even know if he's on the field for Jacksonville State. Probably not. He was so low on the totem pole in 2020, he wasn't on the field for a play like that. Meanwhile, it's Sidney Williams and other people chasing that kid into the end zone. It's not him. And then here he is, here he is 2 years later, and he's all ACC, opting out, potential probable NFL draft pick, man. That's just, it's really cool. And I do think these guys have real love for Florida State. I do think it's just such a unique situation. I don't think next year, I mean, I could be wrong. I could be completely naive. I just think if next year they finish 19th in the country, they're 9-3, 11-1. Maybe they finish 11-1, but they don't make the playoff. We could all see that coming, right? But if that happens, I don't think you'll be down 30 players in the bowl game.
No.
I just don't. I think more will stick around. I just think there's a lot of broken hearts and kind of what am I doing this for attitude with this particular group of guys that were just told their whole season was meaningless. But I could be wrong. This might just be the way of the world. Like Georgia had two more guys enter the portal on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that's the world we're living in, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the world we're living in affords you the ability to get instant energy in a convenient bottle that's not even 2 ounces and tastes quite well, I would say. It's called Vitamin Energy. It's energy with benefits. The website is vitaminenergy.com. Florida State alums operating it, hooking you folks up with the promo code, Corey.
Warchant BOGO.
That is right. That means Warchant BOGO. Buy one, get one free when you go to vitaminenergy.com. The world's first and only clinically tested, clinically proven energy shot that only gives you the energy because of the 260 milligrams of all natural caffeine. But it also boosts your mood. It boosts your focus because of the vitamins and the antioxidants and the nutrients in the little shot. All you got to do is just shake it and take it. I just take half of it, and I still like the results. So somebody said, hey, Aslan, tell the 50 and up crowd, just take half. It was a little punch to the system for me. So you've been heard, friend. You've been heard. You try it out, everybody. Let me know how you think about it. Shake it and take it. VitaminEnergy.com. That promo code, again, is Warchant, B-O-G-O. It's Warchant BOGO. Shake it and take it. VitaminEnergy.com.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, Corey, so looking ahead now, I guess we can start thinking about constructing this roster. And I guess let's start at quarterback. We don't have really any big updates at all at what's going on as we sit here and record this show for you folks for your Thursday program. When it comes to Cam Ward and DJ Uiagalelei, it does sound like, though, that KJ Jefferson, so this might be kind of a roundabout way of maybe we're getting closer to the finish line, Corey, but I guess KJ Jefferson, the quarterback from Arkansas, who entered either earlier, I think last week, apparently UCF has emerged as the leader. It sounded like maybe Miami was making a push for him because we assumed perhaps they were losing the Cam Ward sweepstakes. But if he goes to UCF, then that clearly, again, probably just underscores just how much of a two-team race it is between Florida State and Miami when it comes to Cam Ward. We're not getting impatient here. But, man, again, as we talked about on the show yesterday, it sure would be good to maybe get some kind of good news on Saturday. How big of a deal, I mean, is it for Florida State, not just from like a PR perspective, but just to, get ready to put this season behind you as soon as that game is over and then start constructing that roster and just showing everybody that you're on the proper trajectory by getting the best quarterback available? Is that too much to say? I mean, how important is it to get him, and is he the best available still to this point, even with Jaden Laurier from Arizona entering the portal?
Yeah, I think he's certainly the most proven. I think he's the – I mean, we'll see what that USC kid ends up being, right?
Yeah, Malachi Nelson.
But I do think Cam Ward is certainly one of the best, if not the – I think he's probably – again, he's the most proven for sure. You look, man, I just think – they will get a portal quarterback. They can't not get one. It's just a matter of degrees. Are you going to get an A? Are you going to get a B-? Are you going to get a C? And look, this is the reality of college sports right now and college recruiting in the portal is, I have no idea what his price tag is. But if his price, what's the limit? I assume you have to set a limit and say we're not going to pay more than this for 1 year of a kid playing quarterback.
If you had $5 million, would you give him $1.5 million?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yep. Yep. But I, again, that's me. I would give them all five. Like, getting a quarterback of that caliber can completely change the complexion of the season. You can go from a 7-win team to a playoff team if you get a quarterback of that caliber, of a caliber like that I think he could be. Again, I'm not 100% sold on him. But I think he could be a guy, if you get an all-ACC quarterback, like think about North Carolina without Drake May this year. They were 8-4 with him. What are they without him? 5-7?
Yeah.
It's a good quarterback. That's the most important position again. That's why Mahomes gets all the money. Although, what's going on with that team, Aslan?
They're broken.
Good grief. Let Taylor play quarterback. I mean, good night. Nothing. That was a crazy game to watch. And no, I didn't have money on the Chiefs on the money line. Are you crazy? I don't do that. I don't use my bookie for stuff like that. Quarterback clearly is an enormous position of need for next year, I think. Unless Brock Glenn goes and throws for $3 million against Georgia, and then you feel good about that. But there will be somebody out there, even if you miss on Cam Ward, that I think can raise your win total. He looks to be the one out there that could probably raise it the most. But again, I don't think you can afford to take, after what just happened with the committee, after this game that we're about to watch, all these opt-outs, I feel like you don't want to take a step back to 8-4. And as this roster is currently constructed, and we'll see a good bit of these guys on Saturday, I don't think you would look at this roster, and even with the 22 freshmen coming in, and be like, yeah, that's a playoff team. You just won't. So it's not just quarterback, but quarterback by far. I think that must be why, in my opinion, it's just pure speculation. Maybe that's why the portal hasn't opened up yet, because you've got to take care of the most important position first, and then you know what your spreadsheet is for all the other positions and what you have to spend.
You mean in terms of, like, you need that bell cow to set it off, or you as a collective need to make sure you address that first? So
yes,
you know,
you as a collective need to make sure you get the most important – don't go be spending – quarterback money on Walter Nolan. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, don't do it. You don't need that. You need a quarterback first.
Yeah.
And then go get the best available defensive lineman you can, or the best available O-line or wide receiver, whoever. And also, Aslan, I don't know if you've been noticing, but, I mean, the portal stuff doesn't stop. Like, there are real players. Like
the kid from Arizona, quarterback I mentioned, man, Jaden Laurier, that's
right.
A real player, and that's just out of nowhere. That's not – they haven't played their bowl game at Arizona, he went ahead and announced.
There's a Cal wide receiver that just entered. He has over 2,000 receiving yards. There was the Purdue linebacker that entered a couple of days ago that led the Big Ten in sacks. There's another guy from Miami of Ohio that was everybody's going to want, or maybe he's already committed, I don't know, but a big-time defensive end like the MAC Player of the Year, he just entered over the weekend. Like, it's not slowing down. I thought by this time it would essentially be over, but that was a miscalculation on my part, because I think a lot of these guys have played in games or were waiting to play in the bowl game, and after their bowl season is over, they're in the portal, and they're going to see where they can go. And so I just think over the net, it's going to be more and more really high-quality players. Not more and more, but there will be a sprinkling of high-quality players for the rest of the bowl season, because now we're to the point where you're playing three or four a day. So all these teams that you just watched, they're going to have three or four or five guys after their bowl season is over enter the portal. So you've still got plenty of options to go get really good players. I just think you don't know what you're going to – you don't know what else you're going to fill out until you get – you take care of the most important position. It would take Rodemaker leaving. One way to look at that is he was already told, hey, man, somebody's coming. Not somebody might come, but somebody is coming. Or – either way, it doesn't matter how you look at it. The fact of the matter is you're going to have two scholarship quarterbacks next year. They're both going to be freshmen. That's not how you get to the playoff. Mm-hmm. So you need to go get yourself a quarterback.
And on the heels of that as well, one of the players we did not talk about is Evan Stewart, the very skilled, very talented sophomore from Texas A&M. He was part of that class that drew the ire of Nick Saban. That was the number one overall class that Jimbo had signed, a wide receiver from I thought he was from Texas, but ESPN lists him as being from Memphis. But nonetheless, he caught 53 passes as a true freshman, 649 yards and two scores in 2022. This past season, only 38 for 514 and four scores. He now becomes, I think, maybe the top wide receiver in the portal.
Yeah.
So he is being reported also on 3R, the corporate network, if you want to call it that. Ole Miss, Oregon, Tennessee, USC, Florida State. And actually, Florida State's listed first because they do it in alphabetical order, but I just wanted to draw it out, make you guys a little bit nervous. Mm. But yeah, they're the schools that appear to be the favorites for him. So pair him together with a Cam Ward and Hakeem Williams emerging and Destin Hill emerging and Ja'Kai Douglas being healthy for a full year and doing what he can do in the slot. Kyle Morlock, your returning tight end. That offensive line probably gets a little bit short up, a little bit tweaked. And, you know, Keziah Holmes, Cam Davis, true freshman, Lawrence Toffoli, although he won't play in the bowl game, he's still part of your program. He announced that he's partnering up still with Battle's End last week, I think the announcement came down. That's a salt. I don't know. Salty is what you want to be on defense. I don't know. That's a pretty sweet, I guess.
Sweet. There you
offense,
go. The opposite.
Right?
The opposite.
I like that. That's a 10-win floor.
Well, I mean, those are big ifs, though. Sure, you're talking about the number one quarterback and the number one wide receiver both choosing you. But, yeah, if that happens, sure. But even if it doesn't happen, you know, when we're talking this time in the middle of January, we'll have a better understanding of what this team will be, but it still won't be complete. I just want to keep reiterating that. Like, Keon came in April. You know, whenever the next portal window opens after spring practice, there will be more guys entering. So don't settle, I guess because they can look as it is right now. Cam Ward could commit to Miami tomorrow. I've made this point. He could commit to Miami tomorrow, practice with them in the spring, and then say, you know what, I don't like the feel of this, and then come to Tallahassee. There's nothing keeping him from doing it. Now, the contract he signs might. We'll see how those are worded here in the near future. But with these multiple-time transfers now, everything's off the table. In fact, Aslan, huge news, our man Jake Garcia, former Miami quarterback, is now transferring from Missouri.
Yeah, he's back.
So he went from Miami – well, number one, he went from California to Valdosta High School,
yes.
Then to Grayson High School,
yes.
Then to – wasn't he committed to – he wasn't committed to Miami to begin with, wasn't he? I feel like he was committed to Georgia or somebody, but I don't remember. But anyway, then he committed to Miami, went to Missouri, and now he's back in the portal. These are the kind of players we're creating with this portal nonsense, but it's awesome because Florida State needs some players.
MyBookie.ag, promo code is WARCHANT. Use that for your instant cash deposit bonus when you sign up for the first time over at MyBookie.ag, where you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere. Big slate of games from Wednesday. Let's see what we got here cooking up today, later on Thursday, Corey Clark. I think now it's really starting to cook.
Yeah.
BC taking on SMU, future ACC Mustangs.
That's right.
SMU favored by 10. I wonder if Halfley and the boys are going to take that line down. Miami getting
Castellanos, did he opt out? What's going on there, man?
SMU finished. I think SMU actually
had. Well, that's true. Yeah,
they had an argument to get ahead of Liberty, I think, for that group of five slot or whatever.
Well, you know what happened was because there was supposed to be what they have to take a group of five, the best group of five team, right?
Something
isn't that
like
the ruling?
Yeah.
The best. Yeah. And so their reasoning for taking Liberty over, and this is true, folks, we haven't talked about it, but their reasoning for taking Liberty over SMU was Boo Corrigan, the committee chair, said, well, Liberty just kept winning, and we couldn't ignore that.
It's true.
So I'm paraphrasing, but that's a direct sentiment and mostly a direct quote. They kept winning, and we couldn't ignore it. So, anyway, just do with that what you will. By the way, and I'm not mad that as we were doing this on Twitter, I know we're in the middle of a read. I don't care. As we're in the middle of this show on Twitter, you get to see images of Jim Harbaugh and Nick Saban at the Rose Bowl parade. Meanwhile, you're interviewing Maurice Smith and a couple of other offensive linemen in Miami. Anyway, whatever. Doesn't matter. I'm not mad. I'm fine. I like being in the Eastern time zone.
Speaking of Miami, I don't know if they're going to have quarterback, and they're 2.5-point underdogs at Rutgers. Might want to jump on the Scarlet Knights, y'all. Shiano, Dennis's former team, might have a little extra juice as well. You've got hunches. Play them responsibly, please, for real, sincerely.
Is Miami a former team of his?
He was like an assistant coach, what's his name?
I tell you what, what's that Louisville USC game? What's that down to with my bookie?
That was last night, buddy. That game happened on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Never mind. Sorry. Hey, keep with the read, Aslot. I've sabotaged this one enough.
War Chance of promo code, instant cash deposit bonus, mybookie.ag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Corey, since you'll be en route to Miami later today, but not here for the media day, should I bum rush Coach Fuller with my bad Boston accent?
No.
Just ask questions with that. No. He's been very much more assertive, I feel like, this year when we have spoken to him. I'm very curious to get kind of like a wind vane of where this defense is by speaking to him on Thursday. I think we're going to get a very no-nonsense kind of a approach from him. Any good idea question-wise to ask him to maybe probe a little bit to get under that gruff surface of his, because he hasn't been shy about showing his dissatisfaction for what happened with the playoff and the selection, but I think he really does believe in what he's created on that defensive side of the ball. So surely he's got maybe a little bit of a better cupboard right now than Alex and Mike have on their side of the ball. So perhaps he'll be a little bit more buoyed. Although, again, man, Atkins and at least when we spoke to Coach Atkins, he is not even remotely defeated when it comes to this game. He's excited and thinks his guys, they've been champing at the bit to get out there. So I'm sure Coach Fuller thinks the same for the guys that'll have to fill in for Renardo and Jarian.
Yeah, you know, I think the defense is this is more obviously, this is a dumb thing to even say because it's so obvious. This is more of a real representation. Who's left is more of a real representation of what this defense was than the offense, clearly, right? Like, we've talked about it. There's 8 touchdowns left from this offense. But there's a whole bunch of tackles and tackles for loss and passes defended still left on this defense. So I am interested to see. You lose Fabian Lovett. Well, you know, if he's right, you don't really – Daryl Jackson is as good as Fabian Lovett, this Fabian Lovett that we saw this year, right? Don't you think? Or yes. Can give you a reasonable facsimile of production. Fabian Lovett was very good when he was in there. He just didn't play a ton this year, but he was still good. He was a great Knoll. He was here for 4 years. But Daryl Jackson, Braden Fisk, assuming he's playing, he's listed on the depth chart. You know, with Patrick Payton – that's not a bad front.
No.
You're missing the guy. You're missing the Gilbert Edmond, Byron Turner. Those aren't Jared Verse. But it's also kind of a Josh Farmer. Like, you got some guys on the defensive line with Bethune and Deloach that I think you can look like yourself for a while anyway in that front seven. And then, look, Renardo Green – was awesome. There's no bigger fan of what he was these last 2 years than me. Well, maybe Adam Fuller. But Azariah's playing now. Man, Azariah might be a first or second day pick in the NFL. Like, I see that kind of development from him. Like, he looks – I thought he took huge strides this year. He is going to be your starter next year. This is kind of a jump on that. He played a ton anyway. He played starter reps anyway for the most part. So, with that, with you lose Jarian, but you got Greedy Vance. You lose Akeem Dent. That's a big loss because, of you know, there's a pretty big gap, I think, between him and his backup. But overall, you know, it's not great that you don't have all your starters, but all these other guys that are playing in their place played enough that you feel okay about it. So I think a long way of saying I think Adam Fuller will be optimistic about the way they're going to play on Saturday. I just wonder about the mindset if they see – like, you know, their mindset could not wander when you're playing against Louisville when that offense did nothing for the whole game, the Florida State offense, because you're playing for a championship and what you thought was a spot in the playoff. So they were completely dialed in and focused and played the best game of Florida State, in my opinion, the best game of Florida State defense has played in almost a decade. Just an incredible performance, considering the competition, because that is not a bad offense. And they dominated it. Well, I feel like in a bowl game where Keon's not on the other side of the you've got nothing, there's nothing after this game, that maybe you're playing well early, but then you see the offense, a few three and outs, maybe a one and out, a two and out, whatever happens, you could understand where the mindset wanes a little bit. So that's all I wonder, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's human nature. Otherwise, I think they're going to account for themselves pretty well in that game, all things considered. It just sucks that we don't get to see big number five. Again, I brought this up on headlines, I think. I wish I would have known the Charlotte game was the last game we got to see all them together.
Yeah.
It's like when you're dating someone and you break up and you don't know the last time you were with them was the last time you were going to be with them. Or you would have enjoyed it more. And get your minds out of the gutters, folks. I'm talking about dinner and a movie and walking them back to their house, to their door. But you know what I mean? Like, would have enjoyed and relished that last game. Really, the last two games with that defense more if I'd have known this was how it was going to end up.
It was a magical night nonetheless. I really did say it. And I know you did too, but I get your sentiment. And just, I guess, last thing, just to piggyback on that before we go, just this Georgia offense is good. It's not amazing, though, right? And they're not going to have Brock Bowers, most likely. Ladd McConkey's still banged up. They're not going to have Amarius Mims, most likely. He's one of their more talented offensive linemen. I know they got a whole bunch of hogs. You know, Carson Beck played well towards the second half of the season, but he wasn't Stetson Bennett. He wasn't Joe Burrow. So, again, I know the line inflated over on the Vegas side of things at 19.5, and it's going to be really tough for Florida State to find ways to move the ball and get enough big plays to really put stress on Georgia. But I like this defense, and it's not a bad matchup, I don't think, for them. Again, just unfortunately, you can't say the same thing on the other side of the ball, but maybe we'll learn to appreciate like this defense finally, because for so long this season, it was all about the offense. It was always about, can the offense be elite? The defense just stay where they were last year, maybe get a little bit better. And the fact that like apparently Florida State has an elite defense, just have to kind of recalibrate the way you maybe look at this game specifically, because that's the real big part of this team to really appreciate and maybe enjoy not a victory lap, but just one last kind of hoorah with the best they can play.
Yeah, and look, I think if the defense was intact fully and wholly, it would have, you know, that you're talking about in wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y. I don't want people to think I'm saying holy like a hole in the ground.
Oh, I thought you meant like a priest holy.
Oh, that too. That's another meaning of holy. No, holy like holy complete. You know, I would. I don't know how this Georgia team would have scored more than a couple touchdowns maybe on them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you, folks, at the end of that year, at the end of the year, that was a salty, salty defense. They were good at every level. They made plays. They had two elite defensive linemen and a bunch of good defensive linemen around them. It wasn't like there was a huge drop off between Fisk and Lovett or Fisk and Farmer. And then you'd be adding Daryl Jackson to that mix. Like, this was a championship caliber defense. What you see it with a NFL corner, probably two or three, a really good senior safety that had played a ton of football, linebackers that were – I mean, it was just a really nice collection. And most of them will still be out there, but not all of them, including not the best one, the guy that will be picked in the, you know, first 10 or 15 or 20 picks of the draft. So that's the bummer. Mm. But, yeah, I think that I just – you know, these two teams should be playing in New Orleans. Mm. They should be playing in New Orleans. And, man, this would be so much more fun to talk about. It just would be, man. I wanted to see Jared Verse and Fisk play together again. I wanted to see Keon fully healthy again.
All right, hey, but we're going on a good note.
I wanted to see that, and it's the image of Saban in that stupid parade because he doesn't belong in that parade. He doesn't belong in this playoff, and they'll probably go win it all. By the way,
they probably will.
Were you there when Atkins said that he didn't find out how he found out about the playoff?
No, I hit record and walked away. I had three other cameras. The man.
So he said that. I think he said that he got off the plane and saw that Florida State was playing Georgia on one of the TV because he flew across country. I'm not sure where. I think he said San Francisco. I don't know who they'd be recruiting in San Francisco. But he flew across country. When he got off the plane, he saw the matchup that Florida State was playing Georgia. And he just assumed it was a playoff matchup.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's crazy. I mean, Alex, check your phone, bud.
I mean,
you got a burner? Does nobody have your number? Like, you would have think somebody would have texted them, hey, can you believe this blankety blank?
When Florida State wins the national title next year, I want to go back and I want to talk and I want to interview everybody, do like a 30 for 30 short, and just interview everybody who was not at the watch party and have them tell their story about how they found out. Because as a Florida State fan, I know it's going to be really painful, but I think as a college football fan, it'd be like a not funny, like laughing at someone's misfortune, but just like, oh my gosh, like, that's so brutal. I'm glad they were able to turn around and win it the next year. Remember what happened to Virginia in basketball, everybody? First ever team to lose to a 16 seed. Next year they came back, won it all. First ever undefeated Power 5 conference champion, hosed. Hosed. Mm, there's
absolutely.
Football gods, everybody. Holy, holy football gods.
Holy, holy. Not WHO, but HOLY. That's right, Aslan. Hey, well said, buddy. Let's go out on a high note that way.
There we go. He's Corey. I'm Aslan. We'll probably do a mailbag as Corey will be on the road, so we'll record pretty early on, but we'll have a thread most likely up on the Tribal Council as you're listening to this. Get your questions in. We'll do about maybe 10, 12, maybe 13 to respect the 13-0. He's Corey. I'm Aslan. Jeff Cameron Show back at 1 o'clock. He and Tom Lang. Check them out. Stay connected to WarChant.com. Thank you for listening to Wake Up WarChant presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.